Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio from, what was it, 2 till 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on American Freedom Radio on US Wednesdays. And on Thursdays, that's in the New Zealand time zone because we're ahead of the future and stuff like that, 9 till 11 a.m. on Thursdays in New Zealand. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a couple of guests on the line here with a, I don't know, what do you call a common foe, a common enemy, but something that's also very dangerous to the entirety of humanity, and people just band together just in general grief at the situation and just talk to each other and get rid of the terrible icky feeling that the image of their face connotes. My very special guests. Dean Ryan. Say hello, Dean.
Oh, wait, are we recording for a show? Right? Oh, man, I don't know if I want to do this right now.
It can be a private one just for the listeners if we want. I mean, just for my subscribers. There's like 60 of them.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, hello, everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, see, there you go. That works. And we've also got Eric Wilkinson over here in the red corner. Is incidentally a boxing coach.
What's up? Spitfire Sentinel in the house.
Spitfire Sentinel. Yeah. That's what you need in ancient Greece, especially to fight off the Horde. And Danny Mack, a person in the blue corner over here. Say hello, Danny.
Hi, everyone.
Okay. So the topic of today's show is Pete Santilli. Now, for those of you who don't know, Pete Santilli is a talk radio show host in the United States, and he's been involved with a number of high-profile cases that have made the media in recent years, the Bundy Ranch, the Oregon standoff. Those people might be familiar with this. And a great big controversy with him doing hurtful and damaging things to many people in the truth movement. And indeed, even after a 2-year jail stint, this guy got out, despite being up to 88 years of imprisonment. How does that work, ladies and gentlemen? It works because you're an informant, and you informed on somebody, namely, possibly, the Bundys. Now, we've all had experience with Pete Santilli. I myself had my guerrilla media idea stolen by him, and there's a secret recording of that. You can request the link, and you can listen to the actual meeting we had where I gave him all the ideas and he stole them. And Dean Ryan lived at a house with Pete Santilli and Deb Jordan, and with a bunch of horrible things going on there, to say the least. Grifting, ladies and gentlemen, is not a playful term, although it sounds fucking funny. Now, the thing about grifting is, and scamming people, is that you've got to keep the con. The con is always on, ladies and gentlemen. So bear in mind, if you are a Pete Santilli listener, you've probably already said that we don't worship the Lord Jesus enough, and Pete Santilli is the angel of all hellfire and stuff like that, and have tuned out already. But if you are one of the people that's on the teetering edge and thinking about considering listening to Pete Santilli, boy, do we have some frickin' fire sale stories for you, ladies and gentlemen. And Danny herself actually worked in the back end of the Pete Santilli show, building the stuff and making everything work, you know, actually doing the work. And this is the deep revelation that has only just happened today for us, where somebody from the deep inside has actually decided to come out and talk about what actually went on inside the Pete Santilli camp. Because it's a harrowing, terrifying story, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking America's Most Wanted and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Ain't got nothing on this. So, Danny.
Definitely.
You doing again, Grandpa?
it was a torture camp.
What do you mean, like literal torture?
But, torture, mental, emotional.
It's a psychological thing. because when you're being abused and mistreated on a semi-consistent basis, that's not good for your health. It's not good for your mind. It can do permanent damage to you.
It can. A lot of permanent damage. And it has. And I still have to live with that damage daily. But I've rebuilt my life, and after it was torn away. And so now I'm there's not much he can do to me anymore. So here I am. A few years later, I've decided to tell people exactly what kind of person he truly is. And there's only very few of us that really know what kind of person he is that have lived with him. And, you know, it's horrifying, to say the least.
Yeah. And I've got this also trepidation. As whenever somebody knows Pete Santilli, whenever you speak out against him, he comes after you, and he comes after you viciously.
Yes, he does. And he already has with me. So I don't care. I have nothing to hide. He's the one that has, you know, everything to hide here. And like I said, I don't care. I don't care anymore.
It seems that he doesn't actually try to hide anything. He just lies to cover it up, essentially.
Right. He is a habitual liar, and not just a habitual liar. He's like he's a sociopath when it comes to it. You know, he lies to the point of hurting others, and when lies get to the point where they're hurting others, you know, it's psychotic behavior, and. Mm. He is definitely a psycho.
Now, what spawned this all this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is a recent interview he did on somebody's YouTube channel. I forget the name of the person. Dean or Eric, you got the link on that one? But in either case, he comes out and he calls me some kind of operative, right? Like, apparently Pete Santilli is now so important to the vital resistance to the New World Order of the United States alternative media circuit that the United States government is now employing people from New Zealand to stop him.
That's awesome. You have always been his top foe. Always. I mean, it's crazy how much hatred he has towards you. And really, honestly, you've never done anything to him. He's the one that's done things to you. Yeah, you've come out about who he is as a person, what you know about him. But honestly, what have you done? You know, like,
have I sent him?
I know other people that have done worse things to him, but you are his foe.
Yeah, I'd like to say, like, let's have a look at the list of things that I've done to him. Have I sent him any abusive emails? No. Have I made up any lies about him? No. Have I tried to attack his website or get his YouTube channel taken down? No. Have
I
done this? You know, has he done all of those things and more to me? Oh, yeah. Has he gotten
many?
And that's how it is when you're dealing with a psychotic. They don't care about reality, fairness, or whatever. All they see is an enemy that needs to be destroyed.
Right. And he's such a narcissist. Like, he's never wrong. Everything, the way that he thinks, is the way that everyone should think. And if you think differently at all, then he really puts himself in that high regard that he is all-knowing and all-powerful, and you should do what he says. And like I said, once you go out against him, it's done.
Go ahead, Dean.
Hey, guys. Actually, Pete Santilli just entered the room. I'm going to give him the phone. Hey, Pete, come over here. Okay. Hey, I heard you were talking about the phone. Okay. You don't need it. You're talking about me, okay? I need your donations.
LP, come here. Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pete, we joke not. That was an accurate impression.
Yes, it was. Really, we don't need your money, but we need your donations.
I'm a patriot. Okay. Like that?
Oh, Pete, you so good.
Oh, thank you. Ladies.
We have some breaking news on Vinny Eastwood. Breaking news. This is under the recent interview with Jason Goodman, where he severely slandered Eastwood. We have some breaking news on Vinny. According to A Decade Behind, who commented 53 minutes ago, Vinny Eastwood is officially a low-ranking member of the Freemasons in New Zealand. He can attest to these claims. He has participated in blood rituals and shape-shifting in various reptilian forms. He even bared witness to a meeting just at Dern's unborn baby.
I admit it all, like, bro. I just can't get up in the morning without eating an unborn baby. Like, bro.
How dare you?
that's all true. Okay.
And, of course, A Decade Behind has zero subscribers and no videos.
You know, I get these every day, actually, on my YouTube channel. Every morning, ladies and gentlemen, I go to the Facebook and I go to the YouTube and I check all of these things. And every single time, there is an abusive, stupid, ridiculous statement from somebody on YouTube that has no videos and no subscribers. And they get their comment marked as spam or abuse. And then they get blocked. And then, and then I get on with my day. You know, it's just such a good thing to do. And the reason why I haven't suffered so much abuse from Pete Santilli as many others have is because of my direct block and the scum is gone approach. He started abusing me on Skype, block and the scum is gone. Started abusing me on Twitter, block and the scum is gone. Started abusing me on YouTube, block and the scum is gone. All right, like that's how it works. He goes from platform to platform to platform to platform in order to get to you. And eventually you block them all so he can't actually contact you. But then he's still got the internet. He's still got other YouTubers who are either really, really stupid or they're just good people who believe his stuff. All right? There's a lot of good people out there who really, really support him and have paid the price for it. And this is the problem right now, and this is the reason why we do it. It's not because we think we can take Pete Santilli down. It's because we know for a fact that every single new person he comes across and scams, there's a chance he might hear material like this first and not get scammed.
Exactly.
That is the thing we can guarantee.
Isn't it funny that he's always talking about trolls attacking him and trolls attacking him and blah, blah, blah. And ultimately, Pete is a troll. He is like a master troll because he does. He's relentless. He doesn't give up. He will attack you in any format. He will do whatever it takes to get at you. It doesn't matter.
Oh, he will. I mean,
yes, he will.
You've been challenged, Vinny, to go head to head with Pete. By the way, this is under the comments again by Pete Santilli himself, who has trolled just about every comment that's negative about him under this video here. Pete Santilli, FBI informant, or Framed Hackers. But we got to say again, Pete Santilli investigated himself in this video and found himself innocent. So that's good enough for us.
Oh yeah, gotta believe him.
You gotta look at this, Vinny. We're doing this. You gotta look at all these comments.
I read the comments, and what was interesting to me is that there's no communication between the two worlds and the two sides on this, because it is absolutely something like this right down the middle. Either you're on his side or you're not, and he's forced it to be like that, and he hasn't encouraged people to think for themselves and to communicate with each other in an open and honest manner and look at the evidence in an honest manner as well. As the old saying goes, when an honest person is confronted with the truth that they are wrong, they will either cease to be wrong or cease to be honest.
That's right.
Well, Pete's a very dangerous man. I mean, he's pretty much besmirched me on air, claimed I drug people. He stole money from Deb.
Let's be specific when we make our claims and cite some examples here. Okay.
Absolutely. So I knew Pete 5 years ago. because I don't know. I thought I just was curious about him and helped him out with a few bookings. I put Jesse Ventura on his show, not his other producer who claims that. And that was it. I never paid attention. I knew it was drama. And then I started a radio network with Mike Adams at National News called Talk Network. And the other three producers outvoted me. They wanted him on the network. I didn't. Not that I hated him. I just didn't want the drama. And then he got arrested in Oregon, and that was that. Didn't think anything of it. And, you know, fast forward to last year, I was asked to produce the stand event to help him and the Bundys get out of jail. And I brought some notables for that, one including Roger Stone and all the hoopla with that. And everything was peachy keen. I didn't really do my research about Pete that much. Didn't care. I do a lot of other things. I was invited to stay in the house in Las Vegas, and I was quiet as a church mouse, had no issues. Pete got out of jail. He was amped. He was very narcissistic. He loves forcing people to hear, to listen to his show with him in the room, which was always awkward, and everything's fine. Yeah. It's like that annoying band guy from like college that made you listen to the band CD. You're like, exactly. It's okay. Yeah, it's good. And then so everything was fine. I'm like, okay, you know, he's cool. We're friends. Nothing. No biggie. Him and Deb actually wind up fleeing the house abruptly as soon as he gets out of jail 10 days after. And the woman who was a supporter of theirs, whose name the house was on, she got stuck with the bill. It was like over $4,000. They skipped on the rent, the utilities, and all that stuff, and left me as collateral. And not only that,
she did that to her own son. She did that to her own son.
Right. Same thing. So Deb does that, and then so the landlord comes over. They're like, "We're looking for Deb and Pete." 15, 20 minutes after they leave, we're like, "What the hell is going on?" I'm still in a bath towel. I just got out of the shower. My colleague who was there, who, by the way, Pete Santilli, we found out, tried to hack into his Facebook account, which he denies, but we have the IP address linked to his iPhone 5. Who else had an iPhone 5 on that IP address in the house? So anyways, oh, no, it just goes on and on and on. So they flee. We're collateral. I'm calling Deb and Pete and saying, "What the hell is going on?" "Oh, we don't know. We left on good terms. They actually gave us money." Like, what? The woman's in tears. She's mad as hell. We had to leave. And she gets stuck with the bill. They threaten her. If she goes public, they'll destroy her. Then they found out I was calling around. They found out I was calling around. That's when Pete said he interviewed 10 people about me and recorded it, and he'll destroy me, and he's just going berserk and blowing up my phone.
He's got all these recordings that he never releases.
Oh,
and that
God.
He's got a bunch of them.
So he said he's going to destroy me. He's going to expose me and all these things. And then he went on air saying he asked Jim Fetzer to ask me if I poisoned Aaron Dykes and his wife, Melissa, 4 years ago in some stupid incident to damn my name
Jim
out there.
Jim Fetzer? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
because he tells the truth.
Yeah. And I said, Pete, you want to go there? You want to try to have a war with me? Bring it. And anyways, so that's kind of my story in a nutshell. And, you know, I have nothing. I don't travel in the same Bundy rancher circles or the Christian conservative patriot circles. It's not my deal. And, you know, so that's my Cliff Note version of my story with Pete.
Dean, there was also one other thing that you had told me that I found very interesting. Now, you put on a rally with Deb called the Stan Rally, right? And you were planning on using Ticketmaster to sell the tickets, which made the most sense. You've done this before, correct?
Well, I wanted to use evanbright.com. I think that's a decent site. And she insisted on her people run the tickets and collect the money. And I said, oh, well, okay. She goes, oh, yeah, it's by PayPal. I'm like, PayPal?
Oh, of course.
I said,
the donations were never really accounted for, were they?
There's a lot of holes in the official story. And then now Pete has the gall to say that I stole money from him. So he's trying to damn my name to Natural News, Roger Stone. You know, people in, you know, my circle of colleagues, contacts, and friends from my black book, he's trying to ruin me or had tried to ruin me because the guy is the lowest of the low, talentless hack, 53-year-old hack.
Oh, I disagree. I think he's a very talented hack.
Well, oh, yeah, he's a brilliant scammer. He's a brilliant scammer. He can scam.
He's an evil genius.
Anyone.
Well, the old saying is you've got to give the devil his due.
He has some talent.
You cannot underestimate this person, and that's why he's so dangerous.
Yes.
Well, he does scam on the elderly. I mean, he literally, his crowd is from the church bingo club, and he
or
literally.
Or the veterans. Or the veterans. He's on the veterans.
He's living off people's donations, you know, and people have come to me, you know, saying, hey, I need to expose him. And I'm like, you know, so he wants to come after me. So I said, okay, why was I forced to hate Vinny Eastwood and Eric Spitfire right off the bat? And I didn't know anything much about these guys. You know, oh, they're trolls. Hate them. Stay away from them. Watch them. I'm like, okay. So after what happened to me, I said, why am I supposed to hate these people? So then I talked to them, and it all made sense. It all
exactly. He wants to keep people separate from each other. That's what he does. He wants to, yeah. If you're separate, then you know, as a you know, united, we're all telling the same stories here, and you know, not all of us are lying. I mean, people are coming out. You know. He wants to keep you separated.
Yeah, like he's we're the states coming together. He's Britain.
Exactly. Exactly. Great. Yes.
Yeah. And in closing, I feel he is committing a lot of crimes, but I think he really is preying on the elderly people. And I've met some of these people, and they don't know any better. They don't know to go seek other information. These are disabled people, a lot of them. And I do care a lot about the elderly, and I think if we can warn them, and we could come together like this, and look, I have nothing to gain from this, from speaking out or helping others, other than I do want to help others. I don't have a platform. I'm kind of retired from the alternative media. I'm doing other
things. Yes, exactly.
I have nothing to gain from this, nothing monetary, and, you know, he talks a lot of shit on me, but he's the biggest piece of shit I've ever met in my life. I've met a lot of
That's the truth, though.
I've met a lot of scum people. I've traveled the whole world. I've met the biggest turds and rats ever. I think he's the king rat. He's the king Koopa of all the dirtiest, scummiest, shittiest people I've ever met in my life. He's numero uno.
I second that. Absolutely. I have nothing to gain either. I don't do alternative media. For 2 years now, I've not talked to anyone about anything, you know, that he's done as far as going to the media, alternative media sources about it. This is the first time I've ever talked to you, Vinny. I take care of elderly people, and that's exactly what he's doing. He is preying on the elderly and veteran, especially. Veterans are his number one priority because, you know, these people are already pissed off at their government. You know, they're not being taken care of. They go over, they put their lives on the line, they come back to nothing. Yeah. And then Pete is their voice, you know, and they're like throwing cash at him, you know, and they don't get that they're throwing money at a con man.
Yeah.
Well, he's using them.
The only thing Pete knows about the Constitution is that it's got two words, the Constitution, okay? Like, bro, he's completely and utterly ignorant of anything even resembling principles. There is not even a skerrick of principles, only the illusion of them so that he can grift your cash, folks. And this is how he survived, and actually survived quite well, because as far as scammers go, he's quite, what would you call it, pervasive. He knows all these marketing techniques. He's got a whole bunch of fake Twitter accounts that he can use to spread his traffic, knows all bunches of web marketing gimmicks and things of that nature. A lot of the people who come into this business, and when I say the business being the truth movement, believe me, like, folks, this is a business. And there are people who survive off donations because they do the right thing every single day and they can't afford to not do it. All right, we're talking about traumatized people who've been in the workforce who can just simply no longer do it and have had no other choice but to go on to the internet and tell people the truth about what's happening with their society and just basically hope that somebody helps them. And surprisingly enough, because they are doing the right thing, people do help them, and but help them only as much as they need, just enough to survive. And what Pete Santilli's doing is the direct opposite. He's coming in here, Johnny come lately, and has absolutely no scruples whatsoever. Talks a good game, but absolutely undermines and destroys anything that would resemble a good person's character, right? And
exactly.
That's evidenced in what he did to one of his, one of his closest friends. His name GM and Ken. Many knew him as the Orange Hat Man from the Oregon stand-up.
What did he do to Ken? Because I haven't heard about this.
Officially claimed that Ken is an FBI informant and was planted with him where he had lived with Pete. Basically, they were family, where he was there to collect evidence to get Pete in trouble. That's officially what he's saying now.
Do you guys know how much money Ken gave Pete?
I
if I yes, told I you the amount of money that man poured into
tens
Pete Santilli.
Dollars.
Oh, my God. Ken is one of the best men I've ever met in my life. I have spent so much time. I've sat down and drank margaritas with that man. He's brought homemade salsa home to us. And let me tell you something. Ken is far from an informant. Far from an informant. As far away from an informant as you can possibly get. Something's happened, and he's cut off Pete's cash flow. And that's what he's done to Ken. It has to be over money because literally he paid for their apartment that they're living in now for them to move into it. He paid their electric bill. I mean, anytime Pete needed any money, he would call Ken. He was his cash cow, like for probably a good year. He was his cash cow.
I rest my case,
so
folks.
This is the truth.
That's
and this
crazy.
Is one of their best friends, and the words were mentally ill, evil, and an informant. That is what GM and Ken now is.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Isn't that nice?
I had no idea. See, I don't follow. I don't really follow since I, you know, did alternative media with Pete. I really honestly don't follow it because he has turned me off to it so much.
That is another point I wanted to raise.
It's hard to trust people.
That was another point I wanted to raise is about if you can poison the entire truth movement. And this is another question about what the FBI's purpose is in recruiting him to be an informant for them, to be their man on the inside of the truth movement. What if part of the beauty of it is that he finds really good people in the truth movement with really great ideas and a lot of energy and a lot of upward growth in the thing that could actually in the future become a real threat to the establishment? And then they get Pete Santilli to suck you into their life and disrupt everything that you could do.
Or help him broadcast.
I believe that because he did that to me.
He did that to me.
I mean, I was all for it. Yeah.
Did that to all of us.
I was all for it. Yeah. All of us did, you know, or either did or are in alternative media. And we are there or were there for the cause. You know, we wanted to get the truth out. It wasn't just regurgitating mainstream media bullshit. We wanted to get the truth out. And he really did put a stop to that. I can't tell you how many stories that I brought to that man that he didn't want anything to do with. And it's like, these were great stories and someone else would end up covering them. And he would, oh, there's your story, Danny. There's your story. Like, It was almost like he would set me up to sabotage me. You know what I'm saying? And it was weird.
Can I share with you guys one of the last text messages the great Pete Santelli sent me?
Oh, please enlighten us with this.
It's really, it is enlightening.
Oh, it's going to be a gem.
So this was from November 12th of 2017. And he kept texting me, and I kept saying, lose my number. Then he would text me again, projecting, if you contact me anymore, I'm going to have a restraining order on you. All these things, empty threats. So the last text message Pete sent, it was, FYI, quote, FYI, whatever you think you are doing that is covert is hilarious. Everyone's pointing to you, and you will be in very hot water soon. Nobody can stand you and wants to see you go down for your misdeeds, cross into the criminal realm, and I will actually enjoy seeing it catch up with you. So keep it up so you can continue building our case. You are going down, unquote.
Oh, his famous last words. That right there, that was the very last thing that he said. You are going down. He loves that. In his mind, he thinks it's some kind of macho threat. And yeah, he might come out with a bunch of shit that you don't want, that maybe you've told him or whatever. But you know what? Ultimately.
Danny, we've seemed to have lost you. Oh, no. Maybe her phone wasn't charged enough in time. Oh, she's there. She's back.
I'm here.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. She's absolutely right. I mean, I think he thinks he has dirt on me, which he doesn't. Was it going to be about drug use? I'm very open about drugs.
Yes, he tries. He tries to do that. Well, he tries to do drugs and this and that. Like, okay.
He tries to get basically other people to do something to you by saying something so incendiary. Like, I remember the time on Facebook where he said Vinny Eastwood is a pedophile. You know, he's a little boy diddler.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everybody. He does that with all guys. Like, he has his certain tricks that he plays with the guys, and then the certain tricks he plays with the girls. You know, it's like a couple of females that he was messing with on the side while he was with Deb, you know. And then, you know, she found out about it. So then he had to attack their personal character. They're just a bunch of whores. They're just this. They're just that. You know, but, you know, he was the one that was leading them on, you know, and Pete had a way of sucking females in. I don't know why he's a disgusting human being, but, yeah, you know, and then, but all the men were pedophiles. You're a pedo, you know, you boy diddler. That's it. It's so weird. He's so weird.
Well, the man is the puppet master. He's literally just a pedophile.
He is. Yes. He absolutely is. He's crazy.
And we can say, and we can disclose that in case the listeners haven't figured it out yet, that Danny actually lived in the house with Pete and Deb. And can we say who you and why that was and who how that relation began, Danny? I don't want to overstep my boundaries.
Nope, go for it. I have nothing to hide. Well,
Danny is actually the daughter-in-law of Deb Jordan. She's married to legally married to the son. So she actually had a lot of time on spending with him and knows the Stockholm syndrome that Deb Jordan is, on top of her already being kind of a grifter, shady character that badmouths people and tries to destroy people's name, like mine, like she did to me. So she's not innocent in this whole picture we're painting of these Santilli crime family.
The Red Skull formula, bad becomes worse.
She's the Heimler Himmler, or whatever his name is.
Right, that's exactly true. You know, she's always had that character in her, you know, over the years before Pete. It's always been there, just under the surface. You know, she didn't raise any of her boys. But she's always had that. And then, like, she would help you, but then you could never help her back enough. It didn't matter what you did. You always owed Deb Jordan. Always. So it was there, but this evilness that has been brought out in her, you know, with like you, Eric, and you, Vinny. I know you really, Vinny, you really were attacked by her and Suzanne Posel. But that Pete brought that out in her, but it was already, you know, it's that what lies beneath type thing, just waiting to be pulled out. So not like, he's leading her. He is leading her. You know, she does have battered, you know, woman syndrome and, you know, will do anything for the man she's with at the time.
Yeah, and she's done this time after time after time, being with bad man after bad man who would beat her and abuse her and keep it that kind of thing. But not to say she's a victim in all of this. We all make our own choices in life.
Exactly. And she knows right from wrong. She knows right from wrong, and she knows what she's doing is wrong. Yeah.
Oh, the vitriol in the rumors that Deb has spreaded, not just about me, but others, like people you wouldn't even think, you think they're friends. It's just so damning. Like, I mean, God, she was spreading rumors that I was sleeping with this person and that person. Like, terrible, like married women. And then, yeah, it's terrible.
It is terrible. The very last thing that Deb told me because I have the recordings, when I went to Pete and he wanted me out because a guest gave me, a guest that I brought on to the show, gave me money to get prescriptions, but I stole money. So I was, you know, cast out. She came up to my bedroom and I'm just sitting there crying in disbelief at everything that was said to me because he owed me so much money. And all I was asking was enough because I'm homeless at this point. I'm carless all because of Pete. You know, I'll pay you $1,500 if you'll quit your job, you know, and I'm making car payments. So my car gets repossessed. I lost my whole life. But the last thing that she did is she came up and she sat down on the bed next to me and she looks at me and she says, Danielle, which is what she calls me, Danielle, you know I'm too old to work. Because I could not believe that she wouldn't stand up for me. She's like, you know I'm too old to work. And I can't just walk away from this. And I looked at her and I said, and I'm supposed to just walk away from this? I'm getting forced. I'm being forced to walk away from this. But yes, she's never been one to work and support herself. She's always depended solely on a man to take care of her. Solely.
And, well, I was going to say, you know, she certainly walked away from her husband to kick him out of the house and invite Pete Santilli to have a sleepover.
That's right. She sure did.
I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but, you know.
That's exactly what happened.
There's a bombshell coming your way, folks.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
So it turns out, ladies and gentlemen, that Deb Jordan, who's been with Pete Santilli for years, since like basically the start of his show, is currently married to somebody else. And so was Pete to somebody else, you know? In fact, wait, did they get divorced? Pete from his wife.
They did. She divorced him.
Well, who wouldn't?
She sent him the divorce papers right in the mail. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, of course she sent him in the mail. Why would you want to meet this guy in person? But
he was taking donations. I mean, we were literally no food, living off rice. The whole time I was with Pete, living in the same household, it was rice. That's what we lived off of. It's like living off of ramen noodles without flavor. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's horrible. Horrible.
Did you know that those are similar conditions? Ladies and gentlemen, let's just put this in context here. She lived under similar conditions as the Viet Cong.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When you lived in the house with Pete, you surrendered all your keys. Keys to vehicles. If you had any money coming in, he wanted your money. He controlled the food you ate. He controlled the time you woke up, the time you went to bed. I'm telling you, this man controlled your life, controlled it. And at that point, I was so immersed in it. I couldn't just walk away. I had nowhere to go. Like I said, we were living out in Sardinia, Ohio, which is boo-foo. Like, it's corn and cows. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing. It has a gas station. There's not even a grocery store. So here we are living. Right. So, you know, we're living out there. You can't even, like, get to, there's no jobs. There's no nothing. And so he had us captive. Absolutely had us captive. And yeah, if you needed to go somewhere, you had to ask permission. I had to ask permission. Deb had to ask permission for me to even drive her vehicle. And it's like, that's not his vehicle, you know? My car got picked up on the back of a flatbed because Pete wasn't paying me what he was supposed to pay me. I quit a nursing job to do this. And, you know, he's just, he has to control everything. So, and all the while, he's taking in all these donations and he's sending them to his wife. His wife's getting all this money because, basically because he had no choice but to leave California. And I'm not trying to get, like, ahead of anything, but he had no choice to leave California. And it was basically a bribery. He's paying all the bills for her. She's taking the donations and going to Las Vegas and gambling with some other guy. And it's and all the while she's like, it would be her calling. And she's, I need money. And then it would become the threats and then this and this and that. And here we all are starving, you know. And the whole thing, their relationship, it didn't just affect them, you know. It was everyone in the house at the time. You know, Ashley, and, you know, my brother was living there. It was affecting him. It was like, it was a concentration camp. It was literally a concentration camp.
Well, the methodologies of cult indoctrination is essential authority figure, repetition of meaningless tasks, complete control over every aspect of the lives of the initiates, a set doctrine that cannot be questioned, and also a deprivation of food and nutrition, and also sleep deprivation.
Yes, that was Pete. Pete expected me. See, he would do his three-hour broadcast, and here's what my job was. I had to take his three-hour broadcast, and I had to cut them down into 12 to 15 5-minute clips, or maybe a little bit longer at the end of the night. So Deb and Pete would go to bed after the show, and here I am stuck up for hours doing these videos because I have to go through and cut, add bumpers. You guys know how that works. So here it is. I'm finally, yeah, exactly. So here it is, you know, the show's over at 10, and finally 3 or 4 o'clock, I'm able to go up. I'm in a long distance relationship at the time. So here I've committed, you know, all these hours to the show. And now I want to go up and just spend time, you know, with him and relax and do my own thing. Pete would want me back up at 10 o'clock in the morning producing content for the show the next day. You know, he went to bed at 10 o'clock at night. So he's ready to get back up at 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. Whereas I didn't go to bed till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and he wants me back up in just a few hours. That was Pete. That's what he wanted. And it was, you know, screaming matches, yelling, screaming if you didn't do that. And we clashed heads because my emotions, you know, like I said, I was in a relationship and I was trying to pour my heart into a relationship. And I did what I did for the show. I didn't neglect the show at all. But I wasn't going to neglect my relationship either. You know, I wasn't getting paid for the show anyways. So, I mean,
didn't he say he was supposed to be paying you like $1,000 a month?
He was supposed to, he said how much he came to me. Because when what happened was Deb wanted to kick her husband out. Because Pete was going to come live with her. So I'm living in Cincinnati and she's in Dayton. And she wants me, because I'm working, I'm in nursing, I'm working, I have good income. She wants me to come and live with her and help her with the bills until Pete, you know, can establish himself here. So I was driving an hour and a half to work it's one way to work and then back another hour and, you know, almost a half to support everyone for 3 months. So anyways, she kicks her husband out. I agree to it. Pete comes. I'm paying the bills for 3 months. I ended up getting a job closer in Dayton. And he comes to me one day and he's like, what would it take? How much would it cost for you to quit your job and do this full time? Because my schedule was clashing with the show itself. And I'm like, well, I have to make my car payment. You know, that's my main priority. And then I don't eat a whole lot. It's just me. So, you know, we agreed on $1,500 a month. And, you know, it was based off YouTube revenue. He said it could be more if I brought in more money. Well, I'm producing, you know, vids, the Sandra Bland vid. That was mine, you know, all these big hitting videos. And he's not, like, the first month he gave me $500. He didn't pay me the second month. The third month he gave me another $500. And that was all Pete ever paid me. It was never $1,500, ever. And I did this for, you know, almost a year. And so when I, like I said, towards the end, when I got kicked out, and I went to him and asked him, like, I found a job off of Craigslist. I ended up moving in with an elderly lady and taking care of her. But he wouldn't even give me cab fare to leave. I mean, that's how bad it was. And I have those recordings of that night. And I'll put them out there. I don't care. I have conversations of him threatening to punch the one of the survivors of the USS Liberty. Now think about it. I mean, this guy's like 70s.
Was that the Liberty or the Indianapolis?
No, the USS Liberty.
Wow, okay.
The one that
was attacked by...
That he wanted in the... Yeah, the false flag, yeah.
It was attacked by Israel. Israel attacked the naval ship.
They try to blame it on Egypt. They try to blame it on...
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
On Sadat. Mm-hmm. On Sadat.
Right, exactly. But here's what had happened, is that... they were all going to march on McCain because, you know, McCain's dad was in charge of all of that. And I believe it was Nixon at the time. He said he wanted that ship at the bottom of the ocean. McCain's dad was in on it. So they were all going to march. And that's when Pete went to Texas. Grassroots were involved. All these USS, you know, Liberty survivors were involved. And then, like, just a couple of days before, I can't remember his name at all to save my life, they backed out. The grassroots movement pulled out because Pete had somehow, with Blaine Cooper, gotten in on the donations and were stealing the donations. People were donating money to get these survivors there to serve McCain, you know, basically as a recognition letter, get the hell out of Texas. And they just all backed out last minute, you know, and... Pete told that guy, and I have that recorded, that I will punch you in your face. Like, have a little respect for this guy. This guy and his, you know, his comrades have all been maimed and, you know, killed, and you're threatening to punch this guy in the face? And there's so many people.
I did three interviews with those guys, yes.
Did you? Yeah.
Because I've done where I was literally in tears listening to their stories.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, exactly. Hattrick Penry. He threatened that guy. That guy's in a wheelchair, I believe. And he's threatening to do all this stuff. Bruce Montalvo, like, all this stuff. He just threatens. He tries to use his brawn to back you into a corner, make you fear him. And if you don't fear him, then he'll just go to the airways against you. That's his big thing. But anyone that thinks that Pete Santilli's out for patriotism, he's got you fooled. It's not. He's out for money only. If you cut off his donations, he's not gonna stand there and preach it to you. He's not.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are Matt Hooper in Jaws, and we're telling you that you've got a killer shark out there, okay? And he only does one thing. He eats, okay, ladies and gentlemen? And you are either going to kill this animal or you're going to cut off its food supply. Those are the only two options here. We can't kill him because, surprisingly enough, killing people who hurt and destroy society is illegal. And that's just and that's just the way the cookie crumbles on that one. So we can't kill him, but we can tell people and warn them, you know. The beach is closed, ladies and gentlemen. There is a dangerous shark in the water here. He's going to eat you. He's going to eat you. Like, and don't freaking go swimming. No, you and the sexy bikini over there. No, cover up. Get back on the beach. I mean, you know, that kind of thing, ladies and gentlemen. It is a crisis of Spielbergian proportions that we're dealing with here with the scumbaggery of Pete Santilli. Like, the size of the spaceship of his ego cannot be overstated, all right? There are people drifting. There are people dreaming and building giant mounds of Pete Santilli's head in their sleep, okay? Out of mashed potatoes. Bro, this is fucked up shit.
No, it's meat and potatoes. Meat and potatoes. Come on, he's a meat and potato guy.
Now, you had mentioned Blaine Cooper as one of his friends who actually came out and rolled over on all the people that he was standing for. So let's talk about some company that Pete Santilli keeps. We have Jamie Spears of Dazzleball, who has multiple allegations of credit card fraud now, and yet a new allegation against her for credit card fraud. We have Brandon Curtis, who is the guy who had cleared Pete of being an FBI informant, I remember, during the Oregon stand-up. He now has charges of fraud against to the tune of almost $200,000 a pop on failed real estate fraud. That he's looking at like 60 plus years in jail. So these are the kind of people that Pete surrounds himself with.
Yeah, and those are just the nice ones, ladies and gentlemen.
exactly. Good ones. Exactly, because then he says he's got the ones that'll, you know, shank you in your sleep, and they're gonna come and get you. And yeah,
that's right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's good to laugh about
it's
the
true, though. Yeah. I'm Italian, and I've got this big mafia background family. No, you don't have anything because they want nothing to do with your ass. You have
I
nothing.
I liken him to Spider. Remember Spider from Goodfellas? Well,
you know, and to add context, maybe to add context to it, is, you know, Deb has a family that's extremely concerned, which we've learned from Danny. She has four sons. She'd talk about her four sons here and there with me. And I said, wow, that's really special. And I always asked her, how come they've never come down here to Vegas or Oregon or anything to see you or call? And she says, well, they're busy. And now we're learning that they're not busy. They're probably busy avoiding Pete Santilli, but we're learning that Pete or Deb abandoned her children as they were children, teenagers, adolescents, and she abandoned them always for these bad men. You know, she told me her last husband was in prison. You know, he was a felon for 10 years, and she abandoned all her own children. They want nothing to do with her, and her siblings are concerned about her for the fact, here's another cat out of the bag, that Deb, and I've witnessed it, Deb has an illness. She has a very serious illness. We're talking about a woman who's in her 60s at this point, but Deb is suffering from Parkinson's and dementia, and she's not taking her medication. And quite frankly, the man who holds the purse strings for that money to get medication for elderly Deb is certainly not providing the medication to the sick woman. And as we know, this man is probably counting the days till she plops over and goes and dies. Is that correct?
Of course. Well, of course. Yeah, she's not viable to him anymore. And actually, for those of you that do listen to Pete's show and watch his videos, you will see that Deb is no longer on camera anymore. She was there for a little while, and now she's not. The camera's fixed on Pete only, and then, you know, she gives her two cents here and there, and But I'm afraid, now I haven't spoken to Deb in 2 years, but I'm afraid it's just gotten to the point where, you know, the shakes are too bad or, you know, something is going on. That's what worried me and struck up some concern, you know, like, why is she not on camera? For a woman that's always wanted to be on camera, she lived her whole life in the limelight. She was a musician, a very locally famous musician here in Cincinnati. And for her to not want to be on camera any longer really struck, you know, what's going on? What's going on with her?
And to the point, Danny, that she's actually, and I've witnessed it and others have, Deb is actually leaving the stove on and walking out of a room where I've actually had to turn the stove off or leaving the doors open or lighting a cigarette and then forgetting to smoke it and leaving it in an ashtray, you know, little things, but it's like progressing. And if you actually look into these dementias and Parkinson's, the more stress in her life is actually making it her illness even that much, you know, more deadly.
And no one's attending. And her mother passed away from dementia, and you know, it was horrible. She did the same thing. She would leave the stoves on. She would see things, have conversations with people that weren't there. You know, and all of this, it sounds like to me, because that wasn't necessarily going on when I was there. She did have the shakes really bad, but just within the past 2 years, this has gotten to the point where it's, you know, where she's doing these things and it's progressed to that point. And, you know, anybody that knows someone, a loved one that has dementia, it's irreversible. So medications can slow it down, but ultimately, you know, it can't be stopped. Right. And the longer she goes without medication, the worse it's going to be. So for Pete Santilli to, you know, he said he came here because he loves her and all this, you know, a man that loves a woman will not let her live like that. You know,
she's not viable anymore. And a woman who loves a man won't catfish him.
True story.
Right.
Very true story.
And he came to her under terrible conditions. He was actually fleeing California, as we're learning.
Yes.
He fled California because his wife, two daughters, and family at the time tried to stage an intervention to try to commit him to a mental hospital because the man has psychopathic tendencies. He's violent. He's a pathological liar. And God knows what else he is that we haven't even witnessed. So he's fleeing from being committed into a mental hospital and wound up in the heavenly arms of Deb Jordan out there in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, because his family, they were trying to get him committed at the time. He had his guns taken. Well, he was supposed to have his guns taken from him, but he hid them with a lady that owned a gun shop. But then she wanted money for storing his guns for him. And I don't believe he might have gotten them back. I'm not exactly 100%. I think he probably ran some kind of scam on her to get his guns back, I'm sure, and owes her money as well. Then he comes here. Deb's husband has a bunch of guns, and he steals all his guns. That's the only thing that man wanted from that house, and Pete would not allow Deb to give that man his guns back. So he's got guns that belong to another man. A couple of them were that man's father's who passed away and his grandfather. That's how disgusting he is, that he would do that to another human being. Like, these, you know, these guns aren't just for shooting. These were, you know, someone's father that's no longer around, you know, and things like that. But, and he's not even supposed to have these guns.
No,
so.
I was going to say, it's a convicted felon.
He's a convicted felon. Oh,
and
yeah.
Still, so he was convicted, like, what, 6 months ago, and he still hasn't been sentenced? Anybody else find that odd?
Very, very.
Well, I also find it odd that one of the conditions of his release is that he not go on radio and keep continuing to do what he do.
Exactly.
And what was the first thing he did when he got out? Like, within hours, oh, I get another radio.
I know. He was conducting interviews from prison. Like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, how is he allowed to do that?
Didn't he make
calls? How does he have the privilege?
Didn't he make threatening calls from prison?
From outside the prison.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
How do you do that? How does that happen?
Yeah. How does that happen?
Like, you're standing there next to the guard who's monitoring your call, and you're threatening somebody over the phone. And then you're like, this is a good prisoner. Well, let's let him out early. Let's let him out 66 years early.
Like, who all did you turn in, Pete? Like, I mean, really?
Well, I know. I went to go visit him in prison, and I was shocked how he kind of just let himself, you know, he's not what people think. He looked like a bad, you know, understudy of Steven Seagal, if that's even possible. I mean, like Steven Seagal looks pretty bad, but it is shocking. And the gun charge and how he got off in Cincinnati and went to Oregon, but, you know, that was always a mystery. But here, I always found it odd, and I don't know about you guys, is all these patriot kind of events and stories and figures, they've always been in those circles of the militia circles. And here's this guy. And I always found it odd is, who's this slick used car salesman from, like, New York? Why is he so damn interested in these kind of militia type events and stories? It's totally not his bag, but he's trying to head it, and he's a leader of this. I always found it weird. Shouldn't he be talking about, like, you know, Consumer Reports and, you know, other kind of things? So I never thought that it fit the bill of what he was trying to do, to get involved in, you know, this militia story, that militia person. And it seemed always odd to me from the start of it all.
Mm. Yeah, how does this man go out to Nevada, put out a call to arms to the militia, and hundreds of people drive across country to the Bundy Ranch? How does that happen? Pete was relatively new to alternative media when the Bundy Ranch debacle happened. So how do you put out a call to arms and everybody comes so quickly? Who, if I tried to put out a call to arms, people aren't going to listen to me. Who's this person, you know? How does he get, you know, militia, actual militia members to come out over cows?
Well, I imagine they see themselves in Pete because they're also quite malicious.
I guess so. It strikes me as weird.
Well,
I mean,
well, he was knowing who he associates with. He associates with other informants that are, you know, just totally played.
Right. Well, Blaine is one of those people. You know, it was exposed that Blaine was an informant.
Sorry, Blaine who?
Blaine Cooper. He turned informant.
AKA Stanley Hicks.
Yeah. He turned informant. It's a crazy story. And Pete and Blaine were two peas in a pod. Like, Blaine Cooper was always involved in this stuff. He was his go-to guy.
Possibly his handler.
Yeah, it was quite, I was astonished when I heard that he came out as an informant.
So what do you guys think the end game is going to be? I mean, how long can the facade of the Santilli crimes family continue? I mean, do we see another 5 years?
Well, the old-fashioned answer is as long as people allow it to happen.
That's right.
All right, so essentially, it's very, very difficult to motivate people to do the right thing, okay, because very few people will walk into fire to save their fellow man from those flames, okay? It's a special kind of person who will put their body on the line to save human life. And it's an especially bad kind of person, like Pete Santilli, is the very reason why people like us exist.
That's right. Absolutely.
For every part of
it's
the
like going up against the mainstream
the
media,
will,
you know?
Yeah. Sorry, what?
Well,
go ahead, Danny.
It's like going up against the mainstream media. I mean, it's like, you know, he's... he's evil. He's evil. And you don't know who exactly is handling him, you know, because it changes. He gets involved with so many different people. And Pete is an easy man. You throw cash at him and he's, you know, you can do whatever. You can control Pete. If you have cash, you can control him. But as soon as you stop
that gives
that
a whole new meaning
him,
to media whore.
Yes, exactly. Cool. Exactly. And you can control the content of Pete if you are throwing cash in him. But as soon as you stop that cash flow, he
I'm sorry. I just heard the sound in my head of sucking followed by coins dropping.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thanks exactly. for the image.
It's a cash cow. He's sucking the tit of a cash cow, and that's exactly true. Yes. But as soon as you know he's done with you, he's going to do the obvious. He's going to troll you. And then he's going to try to cut you off from anyone that you might care about, your listenership, however he can try, you know, to cut people away from you. And then he goes after anything you've ever told him. And if you've never told him anything, he will just make up lies about you. Oh. But he will make absolutely. Sure that you cannot comment. He will block you from commenting on his YouTube channels. He will block you to where you have no access to defend yourself. And that is a coward. That is no different than a cop beating a handcuffed man on the ground. He will not give you a chance to defend yourself whatsoever. He's a coward. That's all he is a mouthpiece.
And you can see that in the way that he goes after women especially. And indeed, there was a documented threat that he had online of somebody who knew to have a spinal injury due to a military thing, and threatened to come down there to Australia to beat some manhood into him. The problem with this is that as human beings with a conscience, we are incapable, and I need you to understand this, ladies and gentlemen, you're not capable of understanding what goes on inside his head. You're not capable of reconciling the actions, okay? In order to do that, you would have to suffer a form of madness, a very similar form of madness that he currently suffers from. In fact, I'm not sure if he suffers from madness or just everybody that he comes into contact with does. He might be living the life of Riley in there.
Right, yeah. I believe that.
Yeah, it's a vampirical thing.
It is.
And I can prove that empirically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, now, there was the patterns forming up here. Number one, infiltrating protest movements, grifting the money and derailing them. All right? I could think of a few agencies that could be really, really in need of somebody like this. Mm-hmm. Finding good people in the truth movement and trolling them so badly and destroying them so that they can't actually really continue their careers anymore. And you'll find out almost everybody who's had a stoush with Pete Santilli has had a career change directly after that. Gutting the truth movement full of people.
Oh, believe it.
You're here.
I'm one of those people, yeah.
I'm the only one who stayed, but only barely, you know. Like, I took 6 months off from doing my show on American Freedom Radio last year.
I stayed the course, man. I did too. My channels are down now, not because of him, because of a totally different issue, but that's for another show.
Yeah. But it comes down to the fact that he just stole something so, so deeply personal to me. Like, the whole reason I got into this was the whole idea.
Yes, exactly.
Guerrilla Media.
Your whole network? That's not. Yeah. That's small potatoes, isn't it, Vinny? He only stole your whole network.
Well, right?
He stole the
but it's
entire
more personal
concept.
Than that, though.
Yeah,
and it's personal. I mean, like, he has a way of getting inside of you and just destroying you. Like, your want to even exist. Like, he steals that spark, you know, that adrenaline push that you get when you get behind a mic and you're trying to open up to your listeners and trying to push it down their throat, you know, all this truth. And then you have Pete here and he just steals that from you. And you're like, oh, I helped this man, you know? And it's like, you don't want to ever do it again. I was so good at it, but I don't ever want to do it again because of him. And it's disgusting and vile. It truly is. It's not just about him stealing, you know, media names. He steals that spark from you, you know, and it's 2 years later and I still have that, you know, grotesque feeling for being with him in that show. It's a total turn off. Total turn off.
It took a part of you. You know,
it did.
That's what it does. It takes a part of you, and it's a part that you seemingly can't get back. Right. And that's what's so problematic about complex post-traumatic stress is that, unlike normal post-traumatic stress, which usually can happen over between a week or a month's period of suffering, complex post-traumatic stress typically takes place between a month and 6 months worth of suffering. But during that period, you're supposed to have almost no control over the outcome of your life. Like you have no idea where your life is going to go. At that point, your brain chemistry actually starts to completely rewire itself. Normally, when you see things, the top part of your brain, the analytical part, the primate brain, will see it, analyze it. Then the mammalian part of your brain, the middle part of your brain, which governs your socials and things, it'll think about it for a second. What does this mean or whatever? And then it'll filter down into the reptilian part of your brain and you'll react to whatever it is in front of you. When you have a limbic system malfunction, which is what complex post-traumatic stress disorder causes, you go directly from seeing it to reacting to it. Seeing it, react to it. Seeing it, react to it. Now,
yes. This
works on a biochemical level rather than a psychological one. So you can only see something that reminds you of Pete Santilli, and you'll feel this chemical rush in your bloodstream that will remind you of it, and that's your body's way of showing you to stay away from that situation because it's dangerous. However, when it becomes a disorder, it means that your body inadvertently reacts to it as though it's a real physical threat, even though the threat is completely gone. Right? The threat of Pete Santilli is completely gone from me, because I know any time that people are really, really serious about the truth or whatever, they'll hear one thing Pete Santilli says and they'll dismiss it immediately, because I've got a 10-year track record behind me of helping people left, right, and center of all political beliefs and spiritual and fucking UFOs and reptilians and you name it. Doesn't matter what the fuck anybody's talking about, I'll talk about it. Just to hear it out, just because I'm curious. You know, and what's interesting about this is that in order to get back into, let's say, talk radio, which Pete Santilli kind of like back in the chair in the Matrix, just suddenly I was boom out of the mic chair kind of thing. I lost my mojo. And
exactly.
The way that you get over trauma, however, is you expose people to very, very slight representations of that exact same trauma, step by step by step by step, until they are able to deal with similar levels of it again. Now, this doesn't mean that the trauma is going to go away and they're not going to have these reactions. It just means that it's going to increase their level of bravery. They'll be able to go into these situations not because they're stronger, but because they're braver.
And I think you realize he can't hurt you.
That's what Pete took from us. I think he took part of our bravery, and we can get that.
He did. Yeah, because he, just like Eric, I think it was Eric that was saying earlier that I'll destroy you. I mean, that's his final last words to anybody that crosses him. I will destroy you.
And it's the only thing Pete Santilli's ever said to anybody that's the truth.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And he will. He will go on air and he will tell anything. And like I said, he's already done it to me. He's gone on there, lied. He's done it to you guys. There's nothing left that he can take away from any of us. He's already done the damage that he could cause.
Oh, I disagree. I disagree.
Left. He's nothing but a mouthpiece to me. He's like Mick Jagger lips behind, you know, big old floppy libs. That's all he is. He doesn't pay my bills. Oh. I have my shit together. He's beneath us. He's beneath us. He, you know, where I used to hold him in such, you know, revere, and he was this great guy, you know, and he is, he's the shit on the bottom of my shoe is what he is. And there's nothing he can do to hurt me. Nothing.
Well, his numbers are way down these days. Many of his sponsors have pulled out. And I think that's why.
And Eric, Eric, let's not forget, before it's news, kind of nosedive, as soon as he took the helm when he got out of prison recently, and their numbers have gone down. I mean, I think their credibility as well. But I really don't think he's going to get much further with the YouTube crowd, and now he's going to rely on other alternative platforms, which might even be harder for his elderly audience to kind of sort out where he may be.
I don't know, Dan. So, he went from like 3,000 subscribers to 12,000 in only a couple of months. So he's that took me years, you know, down here in New Zealand trying to do that. So never underestimate this guy. And what we're doing right now, trust me, he can hurt you. No matter he can hurt you in any way, shape, or form. He can hurt any one of us just as easily as we could record a show exposing him for the scumbaggery that he is actually committing on people. You know,
and he will. He's going to come out and he's going to try to slam each and every one of us. But I mean, who's he going to tell? Who's he going to tell his 60 listeners? I mean. He has nothing. I mean, I'm not putting those 60 listeners down, but...
We were trying to take dementia seriously, you know, on a quiet note and that kind of thing. But and so I held back the talking of a joke that, you know, like maybe Pete has dementia and he's talking to a microphone and nobody's actually there.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. He's maxed out. He played the whole, you know, longest held journalist, which is a lie. There's been journalists who've been held. There's a journalist named Michael Emery from TVIO News who's been held for 2 years now. So that would be.
And he's not a journalist.
But I think he played. What's that?
That's an N. He's not a journalist, really.
No. And I think he played that whole card. I think he got as many people as he's going to get from that. I mean, people, wake the hell up. Every single person that used to follow this guy, that used to be in his circle, they're not there anymore. The Bundys.
We all have stories. He hasn't even done an interview with him,
and there's a reason for that. Every single one of his moderators, gone. Everybody who used to help him out on his show, gone. Now, why is that, people? Ask yourself that question. It's a pretty simple one to figure out.
And two, Eric, he turned on the Bundys. You know, there's a recording that came out of Deb bad-mouthing M and Bundy. And now we're learning that Pete took $25,000 from Cliven to do a documentary bio that never happened.
And he blamed somebody else. Alongside Patrick Henningsen, who Pete Santilli then blamed for stealing. When Pete Santilli was the one who cashed the check and took it.
Exactly. And Patrick Henningsen was a great guy. Full of integrity. Definitely one of the best men I know, too. But yeah, he just threw him under the bus.
Patrick Henningsen, his credibility factor is, you know, just levels above Pete. I mean, the man is on he runs 21st Century Wire. He's a great geopolitical analyst, and he doesn't want any part of Pete's drama, and he's used as a scapegoat, I think, is highly unfair. So
May I also make a point on this as well, is that the people he has harmed are often very, very paranoid about talking to anybody else about him harming them specifically. Like, there's this trepidation because there's always the fear that Pete Santilli is just sending somebody else in to talk to you, to manipulate you and that kind of thing. And so it makes all his victims paranoid of each other instead of coming together and go, oh, you've seen that and that, because we've had a number of conversations before doing this recording, which is for subscribers only. But the thing that was very interesting is that we all saw different parts of the same thing. Like, we were all looking at the exact same thing happening from different angles, and it was like comparing notes, because suddenly you sort of realize for yourself, I was seeing what I was seeing because this guy saw the exact same thing too. It's like that mm-hmm. because everything Pete Santilli has done to us, he has done to other people, and there is no other story that he does. There's nobody out there in the world who would have a good thing to say about Pete Santilli that wasn't a lie. Yeah. You know, and that's the problem with it. Is
exactly. And look what Deb. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was just gonna say. Look what Deb. I haven't talked to this woman in 2 years. She texts her son out of the blue about a month ago. I guess she saw a comment that I had left on Eric Spitfarsenal's YouTube channel and text her son to warn me that she knows that I hate her, and but she wants to warn me because Eric's gonna kill me. I just lost it.
But and now I got you right where I want you.
I know. Oh god, here we go. Yeah, but it's like she saw that because I hadn't come out against Pete. You know, he did his damage to me, destroyed my life, and I didn't come out against him. You know, he backed me in the corner, and I did exactly what he wanted. I disappeared. And then they see a comment, you know, and that little sparkle of, uh-oh, because they do know I have damaging things on them, both of them. And so they tried to nip it in the bud right before it ever got started, you know, and that was about a month or two ago, maybe 3 months ago, but, and here I am, well, that's what he does. I could have cowered, but.
I mean, I tried to lay off him for like 3 years, but he kept at me. And eventually I was just like, I have to do something about this guy. I got no choice.
Yeah, I think you had to send like a cease and desist and all kinds of stuff. He wouldn't stop. He was so relentless.
You should have seen the letter he sent Suzanne. To our lawyer, who was like formerly running for the Senate in Texas or something like that. She got one letter from Pete Santilli and resigned the case. One letter. That's how abusive this guy is.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if he even talks to John Whitehead any longer, but he used him. You know, he would just sling his name around, and a lot of people would go running because John Whitehead, you know, he's this big constitutional attorney. And like I said, I don't know if he's still in contact with him or not, but a lot of, you know, John did a lot of things for Pete. Even, I think, as far up to him getting, you know, put in prison, but then he kind of backed away from that. But yeah, he used him quite a bit.
Well, if Pete Santilli has said something bad about you, the chances are good that you're a frickin' angel.
Yeah, true. It means that you've actually stepped up against him. You've gone against him because you don't believe what he's saying is true, and that you see him for what he really is. So if he's coming out against you, it means that you're telling the truth about him, and he wants to destroy and squash that.
Let's destroy some of his narratives right now, guys. As far as him suggesting that all his bank accounts have been checked and PayPal accounts have been checked, and there's no way he could have taken any money because there was nothing in his accounts. Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if you're going to steal that type of money, the last place you're going to put it is your own bank account.
Exactly. You're going to redirect that.
But that's his proof. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Pete would, when he would have money, he never kept money in his PayPal, ever. That money was linked up and set to different bank accounts, and one of them went directly to his wife. A lot. So the money would come in, and then it would be sent right back out. So, yeah, he wasn't stupid. He wouldn't leave the money there for people to you know, he's not going to leave $25,000 just sitting in a PayPal account. That's not what he does. He has his credit card that he carries. It's, I believe, in his wife's name, and she keeps it on for him. And then when he runs it up, she gives him a call, and then he pays it. He magically shifts like $10,000 the next month, and it's just strange.
Yeah, yeah. Another narrative that he would come out with is that there's no way that he was any type of FBI informant, because who goes to jail for that long if they're an FBI informant? Well, look up Hal Turner, people, and you'll see an FBI informant mm-hmm. that indeed did go to jail for a very long time. Another narrative that would be destroyed is that nothing came up in court about him being an informant. Now, If I remember correctly, Pete Santilli never went on the stand and never went to trial. So how would any of that information have even come out?
Exactly. Out
to avoid that is our belief.
Me too. And Danny, real quick, get into the facts, the infamous facts that he sent in 2013. You said earlier in the green room that it was actually he wrote that fax to throw people off to get ahead of the story when he actually sent an electronic fax. Is that correct?
That's correct. And that came right out of Deb's mouth herself. And she told me that in confidence when he was screwing around with that handler of his during the Marietta incident, all that stuff going on. And yeah. When she left him for, it was a little over a week, yeah, she believed he was an informant, absolutely, and that he made that fax to throw people off so that they would, because they were going after him so hard that he created that fax to throw them off. That came right out of her mouth. So yeah, I mean, how do you get a gun charge? You're pulled over in Cincinnati, Ohio. You have a gun with multiple. You know, you're in Ohio. If you have a gun, the clip has to be, yes, it's loaded. So the clip
one
has
in the
to
chamber.
Be, yes, you, the clip has, you cannot have a loaded gun. You can, and it has to be out in the open. He had it concealed. It has to be out in the open, and the clip has to be either in the glove box or in your trunk. It cannot be anywhere accessible for you to immediately be able to load that gun. Second of all, his tags come back a domestic terrorist. So, you know, Pete gets arrested and then gets out, blah, 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 does his stuff. And then a week before he's due in court on the charges, the sheriff drops the charges against Pete. But yet the Department of Homeland Security contacts me 2 days later after he left to go to Oregon. So that, to me, is just strange. Now, the only thing I can think of is maybe they dropped it because they wanted him to really hang himself out in Oregon. I'm not sure. But he's facing 88 years. He serves 2 years in prison. He's facing 88. I don't care what anyone says. He turned. He turned on some people to get out.
Let's not forget all the charges were dropped, Danny. All his charges were dropped in Oregon the day before his trial date. I mean, how many times does this stuff have to happen before people freaking get it?
And you know that when he went to Oregon and he went inside that refuge, he stole hard drives from computers. Government hard drives. The FBI knew this. How do you get charges like that dropped against you? And Deb hid the hard drives at one of the people's houses out there that were helping her. She hid the hard drives in the backpack for Pete. So how do you get off on charges like that? You know, how do you get off on gun charges? Nothing. In Ohio, you're going to get charged. It is a money... You get pulled over for anything. They want your. Oh, it's like that anywhere, but it's really bad here. You know,
Ohio and Illinois are two of the worst.
Oh gosh, it is. It's like a revolving court system here. Like they want that money. So how do they drop charges against someone like Pete? Oregon dropped charges, and then now Nevada. And Nevada had him. You know, he puts out a call to arms. All these militia members show up. You have two militia members that show up that ended up, or not militia members, but two whack jobs that show up and go off and ended up killing cops in Nevada. He blocked a convoy of BLM. He hit them with one of the ATVs he was driving, threw rocks. I mean, there's just multiple charges.
That's actually what he pled guilty to, was that charge, which he still, again, once again, 6 months later, has not been sentenced on.
And that was the hardest charge he had. That carried the most time, was what he did to the BLM officers. So how in the hell does he just walk right out? Like, all of a sudden, it was, you know, all over that Pete Santilli was released from prison. My jaw dropped to the floor. I could not believe it. I could not believe it.
Well, he was very adamant about saying that he was never going to plead out. He was going to fight this to the end, wasn't he? And then all of a sudden,
yeah. And then he pushed out. Yeah. And then saying, what was it that his, the FBI informant or something? And that's lies. That is all lies. That I know for a fact. I'm not going to tell how I know. I mean, I my safety's on the line, but I know for a fact that that's a lie. So yeah, he's turned on some people. That's exactly what he's done.
Not only did he plea out for the Bundy Ranch incident, is, you know, you have Deb Jordan on the phone with Eric Parker, pleading and convincing him to take a plea deal, which he did, which now he regrets because everyone got off, you know, weeks later. Had he just stayed the course a little, because he already got two or three mistrials, my memory stands correct, but he was so close to Pete and thought Pete's the real deal, still probably does. And now he's paying the consequences of, he got a misdemeanor, him and the other guy. So,
well, I can tell you, the BLM wanted Pete. They wanted Pete. They had a hard-on for Pete. They wanted him. The only reason they wanted the Bundys was for the money, you know? But Pete, oh, yeah. That Daniel P. Love, oh, my God, he hated Pete. He wanted to see him in jail. So I don't.
I can't possibly see why. He's just such a stand-up guy. Like.
Oh, I know, right? he's John Q. Public, man. Why? Yeah, why? But yeah, I don't know. But you know, it just shocked me that he got off on like everything from state to state to state, just everything.
As I said on day one. I predicted this, exactly this would happen, that every single thing he was charged with, he would get off, that he would get out sooner or later, and when he did, he would start going and saying he's some kind of persecuted journalist, and he'll go straight back on the airwaves, he'll start rebuilding his audience, and he'll become more powerful than ever. And as far as I'm concerned, looking at the analytics and the growth of his channel and stuff like that, even in the short term, we're looking at a major problem on our hands.
Oh, yeah. But one thing, though, you know, like, from the beginning, he always had Deb. Deb was his voice of reason. You know, she was the one that really pushed him and really brought that show to where, when it peaked, you know, that was Deb. He doesn't have her any longer. You know, like, she's, her health is failing and... You know, he doesn't have that. So he's hanging on tonight. He needs to just go out and get a job cleaning toilets like he deserves. He, you know what I'm saying? He needs to pay taxes and have a job, a normal job, because he's a sellout. He's burnt out completely. Like I said, he's got like 60 listeners. I think most of his Facebook people are just people that, you know, you forget about groups. I have groups from 10 years ago off Facebook that I, you know, never see post about. So I don't know how he's living. I don't even know how they're paying bills. Because he doesn't have that. He doesn't have the content any longer. He doesn't, you know, a lot of people, he's burnt too many people. So, I just don't know. I don't know who's feeding the money.
With all due respect, Annie, you haven't been following what he's been doing since he got out.
You've been
out of this movie since, out of this movement, basically since leaving it.
Yes.
And unfortunately, no, it's not like that at all. Because when he came out, you had a whole bunch of people with big YouTube channels. I think some woman had like 50,000 YouTube subscribers and had Pete on for an hour or 2 hour interview or something like that about how he's this great persecuted patriot. So, and indeed, the very reason that sparked this particular recording today was a video that was released today of him on another person's channel. The
yeah, I watched that.
Open Source Truth or something like that, where he calls me some kind of foreign intelligence operative, essentially. Now, what was interesting about this is that he says, "Hey, see, look, this fax here is dated in GMT. Do you know what's in GMT time, like near London and stuff like that? The British intelligence. Yeah, that's who he's working for. Yeah, because the time was in GMT, like just the most spurious kind of thing, and we're talking about claim after claim after claim. I've got the recordings, I've got the evidence. Why don't you show us the recordings? Why don't you show us the evidence?
Right, but he's still trying to beat that dead, you know, horse, and it's like, no, but who really cares? I did watch the video, and how many people watched that video? You know what I'm saying? Like, Pete used to have a lot of YouTube, you know, followers. I mean, not a whole lot. We would get about 150 people on the live. And then when I'd break down the videos, we'd get, you know, upwards 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 views per video minimum. And I'm looking at his numbers now, and I'm seeing that, and it's well below where it, I've never seen it that low.
Well,
so
yeah, because his YouTube channel.
I don't think he can.
Got deleted.
I don't think he can bounce back.
Well, I disagree.
Yeah, I don't think he can bounce back. Though.
Purposely taken down. That's up for debate too. Deleting the evidence. Did you guys happen
point,
to spot out the point I was making? Did you guys catch it? The part about part of his. I'm looking at it right now. Part of the terms of his release was that he was to have a 40-hour week job. Now, begging for donations
right.
is a job, then apparently the dude who I gave some change to on 8 Mile on the way to work today, he has a job, too, that's 40 hours a week.
Yeah, that's by American
right.
standards.
Exactly. No, but he's not a taxpayer either. And that's another thing. You know, why isn't the IRS ever involved in this stuff? He takes in all this money, all these donations, and they're never involved. You know what I'm saying? He's been in trouble for tax evasion. Why is the IRS not on his ass? You know, like, he's like Teflon Don, you know, but there's a reason for that. He's in cahoots with these people. You know, in order to do this stuff, he's not that person he says he is. You know, he's a coward. I've seen him in front of police and him cowering like a little baby. So he's not this person that people think, you know, he's Superman. He's going to go up and fight the government for us. And he's not anything like that. He tells you what you want to hear.
Danny, I want to ask you, because, you know, you've been in the thick of it and you've been around the children of Deb Jordan. I'm just curious, what are the things that her own children are saying about the situation or more importantly about Pete? Do they just want to punch his lights out? Do they fear for their life? I mean, some of her kids have kids. What is kind
they
of the sentiment on that end?
They don't really fear for their lives because they're not involved in their mother's life. So, you know, we all live relatively close. Pete's 10 minutes down the street from me. You know.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, it's very scary. If 10 minutes even. We both live on Beachmont, so that should tell you something. Like, we live on the same street. So, you know, and then her other sons live, like, right within probably 20 miles. So they have no contact. She's excommunicated herself. And they just think she's fucking nuts, basically. Because she's been like this her whole life. She's neglected them, you know, their whole life. So it's nothing new to them for her to not want anything, you know, to do with them or, you know, their children. And it's actually better in the long run because they have established lives and they're doing well for themselves. But, and, you know, it's horrible, you know, for a parent or grandparent to come in and out of, you know, your life like that. But they just think that she's nuts. Her one son really worries about her. Her youngest son worries about her, about her health, because he knows she's not in good health. And this was a woman at one point that, you know, we were all around each other every day. I've known her for 20 years, and you know, she's, since I was 18 years old, she was in my life. So, you know, but she's always been flaky like that. So it's nothing new to them, but they don't fear for their life. They're country boys. So if Pete tried to pull some stupid shit, they'd just beat the shit out of him, and he knows it. So, you know, but he's had her excommunicate herself from her family, and that's what a sociopath does. And he's a people collector, and he's cut her off from the world and brainwashed her.
And in the same token, I'm sure Pete's two daughters have completely changed their names and said their father died many, many years ago.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In hiding. Yeah. I can't even imagine being related to Pete Santilli and sharing the same DNA. That is just.
They hate him. They hate him. They have hatred. You know, they don't even want pictures of their children sent to Pete. Like, the ex-wife had to sneak pictures to Pete because they don't even want him to see pictures of his grandchild. And, you know, that's, and this, they look like a normal family unit, you know. They lived in a nice home, and you know, they have, you know, they went to college, you know what I'm saying? There was structure there, but it was the mother structure, while Pete would, you know, cheat, and you know, it was a scam, so they never knew where the cash was coming from. And you know, and that's just the type of person he was with. You know, he was so unpredictable, and you never knew what Pete you were dealing with, you know. And so fly by night, he'd get an idea in his head, and that would be, you know, he ate on it. Like, that was all he cared about. So I can't imagine the life that those children went through. I went through a shitty life with my mother, but I can't imagine Pete being my father. Oh my God.
Well, in no small measure, he actually was your father for a period of time. He controlled your entire life, everything you did.
He did.
Now, imagine you were a child and he was doing that to you, and you knew that there was no escape. Imagine how much you would have hated him then, you know?
Right, exactly. And then, you know, you grow up, and they went to college and got families of their own, and they didn't want him around that. They wanted him to have no part of it, his own children. And I'm sure he still hasn't talked to them. I mean, I'm sure they're in hiding. They went into hiding because they didn't want him around. They didn't want him back. It was like good riddance. And it's horrible to think, you know, like that about your father, but I can see why. All of us. Exactly. I can see why. Because,
you know,
he's a horrible person.
It's like Chris Rock would say, you know, people don't approve, but they understand.
Exactly.
Isn't that more evidence of the character of this man, the fact that he was in jail all this time and we didn't hear one single solitary word from anybody in his family in support of him?
Exactly. Nothing.
That's another good point.
Well, like I told you earlier, you know, he had no problem saying he would cut his own mother's throat. And I didn't have a perfect mother growing up, but I had respect for my mother, and I could never even say something so horrific about my mother,
he was saying grotesque. That to somebody you were in a relationship with at the time. And Pete said something, words to the effect,
yes,
I'll cut you out of my life as easily as I would cut my own mother's throat.
Yes, exactly. Because this person was listening to a broadcast from someone that Pete didn't like and threatened him like that. Like, it's not much of a threat. He didn't like Pete, never did like Pete. But yeah, it's crazy.
Well, that's the problem. There's absolutely no justification for it. It's just crazy. Some people are crazy, folks. Look, I've got a great quote. You know, anybody who says that all conspiracy theorists are crazy, you're completely out of your mind. But if you believe that no conspiracy theorists are crazy, you're completely out of your fucking mind. I mean, my God.
Oh, wow.
you know, and you can't explain with logic that which can be easily explained by madness.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know.
I'm telling you, he's like Jim Jones. Jim Jones mixed with Manson, I'm telling you. That's Pete Santilli. Like, he'll lure you in with the Kool-Aid and then, you know, sacrifice you in the name of patriotism.
What would you like to, you know, I guess in kind of a closing thought, I mean, what would you like to see happen? Is it viable to say you'd like to, for Deb to pull away and you would like to comfort her and be friends with her again and maybe Pete, you know, get off air? Or what would you like the conclusion of the Pete Santilli story to be?
In my perfect world, I would like to see Deb come home to her family. I would like to see Pete disappear. And I don't mean that nefariously. I mean, go someplace else with the scamming. Stop stealing from veterans. I mean, they fought for our country. They fought for our freedoms. And you're stealing their money and then preaching about the government that doesn't give them enough. I mean, I want to see Pete in prison. I want him to be like the rest of his life in prison or institutionalized in some form, form or fashion, just gone. but that's, you know, she's not going to. She's ultimately going to either be put in a nursing home or something. Who knows what kind of papers Pete has had her sign. You know, if she signs power of attorney over to him, then it is what it is. But I don't wish harm on anyone. And hate's a very strong word, but I hate that man. I hate everything he stands for. I hate everything about him. And I am an empath. I love all humanity. But I hate that man. I hate what he did to me. He destroyed me. Destroyed me completely on many, many levels. He's destroyed Deb. He destroys everything in his path. And he does need to be locked up. You know, he's a danger to society. And what do the police do to people that are dangerous to society? They lock them up. And that's where he needs to be.
Well, I think he needs to be in Arkham Asylum for the criminally insane, because seriously...
Exactly. I mean, he reminds you of the Joker, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really does. Just completely dangerous and absolutely no loyalty. Doesn't matter whatsoever.
Right, Harvey Two-Face, something, you know, that's exactly right.
Mm-mm-mm.
He's an evil man.
We'll burn you and sacrifice you because it's fun.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And laugh about it. Laugh about it.
I wonder if it's like empty laughs. And often the psychopathic condition isn't very well understood by mainstream society, because ultimately we have, for the largest part of our lives, refused to believe that such people could exist. How could somebody have absolutely no morals and make something up like that? I just can't believe it. And this is actually the crux of the issue with explaining to people who Pete Santilli is. If they're unaware of what narcissistic psychopathy looks like and sounds like and acts like, this will come as a surprise to you. However, if you're well-versed with it, you will just go, uh-huh, and?
you have to understand the textbook. Too.
You want what?
You have to understand, too. You don't know. Psychopaths blend in with the everyday people. They're chameleons. I don't know who said that earlier, but they are. They blend right in. And you're right. You don't know. You know, until you are destroyed by this man, you don't know. And it's hard for people to comprehend that level of destruction. But that is what Pete Santilli is. He is destruction. He is violent. He is narcissistic, egotistical, and does whatever he can do. He's a modern day vampire, people. He will suck your energy and destroy your life. That's what he will do. He did it to me. And I have all the proof in the world, all the proof. But that's what he did. And I'm a nobody. I'm not out for any money. I don't want money. I have a good job. I want nothing but to warn people of how dangerous he is. And he is fooling you. And when he's done with you, you will see. When your bank accounts are empty and you have nothing left to offer and he's going on there and he's just slamming you and you're just like, why? Why is he doing this to me? Yeah, then you'll see. But that's the kind of person he is. He's dangerous.
And the reason we're doing this is because, of course, we don't want it to get to the point for you folks. You know, we want to tell you ahead of time, the bridge is out. Okay, here's a road sign, the bridge is out. Don't keep driving in this direction. You're going to fall off the bridge. You're going to drown. You're going to die, cunt. You know? And then and the people don't listen. They go, no, my GPS says it's fine. It's fine.
Exactly. Because anybody that got into the truth movement, we went into it because we care about our fellow man. You know, we didn't go in to get rich. You know, most people look at us like we're just tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists. You know, so we barely get by on donations, you know, or whatever. So there's not. But for Pete, he didn't go into it for that reason. He went in with the big hitters. He went, you know, he has a way of pulling in the people that have life savings. You know, that's what he did to Ken. He took away his life savings, I'm sure. But yeah, he's a heavy hitter. He won't just scam the small people. He'll scam the scammers. That's how good he is. He'll scam the scammers. But we went into this movement for the truth, and you know, we do care. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. We don't want to see other people go through what we had to.
And that's half the reason why I do my show, exactly, because it was trauma by the state. It was police busting me for cannabis that really traumatized me. And a lot of activists, this is what they do. They get hurt by somebody who's really bad or something that's really bad, and then they dedicate their lives with some kind of moralistic purpose to preventing that harm from coming to others. It's a tale as old as time. It's called the hero's journey, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes, in order to prove that the hero is a hero, they must slay a dragon.
That's true.
And this is the beast.
Very true.
We deal with right now, ladies and gentlemen. The beast, Tilly. God.
Look. He is. And I really thought he was gone for good. I really, really thought. And when he got out, it just really floored me.
I never thought for a moment.
It floored me.
In fact, it reminded me of something that happened when the New Zealand Parliament elected a new leader, and it was a leader from a different party than the other party, and everybody was like all so hopeful and stuff like that and celebrating when she won and became our new Prime Minister. And I wasn't celebrating at all because I knew exactly what was about to happen. Something worse. I didn't know what it was, but something worse. And then when Pete Santilli went away for jail, everybody else was celebrating. And I said to myself, oh, God, now he's got street cred. Now he's got the whole gotten busted by the government thing under his belt. And he can use that to scam even worse than he's ever done before. That was the thought that occurred to me. And that thought has stayed with me this whole time.
Yeah. And as soon as he got out 2 years later, facing 88-year sentence, You don't walk away when you're facing that much time. If you're facing 5 years or something like that, yes. But when you're facing 88 years, the government's got some pretty good shit against you that you're going to get something out of it.
Murderers. And actually violate every term of your release either, which he's done several times.
Murderers don't get that long. Murderers, you know, don't necessarily get 88 years in prison. I mean, how does he walk away from that? And like you said, how is he still doing a show? How is he doing a show from prison? I mean, people think about these things. You're smarter than this. You know, you're obviously smart because you're listening now. You're obviously smart because you listen to alternative media versus mainstream, mudstream media. You're smarter than that. Start putting these puzzle pieces together for yourself. Research it. Go out there, look up Patrick Henry stories. Go out and just type in Pete Santilli scam and start putting these words behind it. And you will see the hundreds of people that have written little blurbs, little, you know, blogs about him that are just small, buried 3 pages, 4 pages, 8 pages into Google. Dig and you'll start to see it. This isn't just a group of people that are, you know, oh, we're butthurt over something. No, he really is an evil person. Start digging yourself and research it yourself, and you'll see this is who he is as a person.
It's a deeper awakening that a lot of people in the truth movement haven't gone through yet. And it occurs to me that a lot of people in the truth movement have not suffered enough, right? The greatest teacher in our life will always be suffering and pain, because that's how your brain wires itself to avoid these things in future. And hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast was painful to listen to. You know, if you're like a fan of Pete Santilli and you're sitting there and you're going, oh my God, he did all this stuff kind of thing. And what we need to do is, of course, a lot of us have documents, images, and things of that nature. And the video that myself and Suzanne Posel made, the unauthorized biography of Pete Santilli, documents everything he did from the military in the 1980s to him being fired off of Rents Radio and going to Oregon, including getting caught with the handgun charges and things like that. Broke down absolutely everything and had it all documented so that people could see very, very easily when they watched that what we were telling you was the absolute truth. It's there in black and white, and there's no denying it. And yet people still deny it. And even the host today who had Santilli on said that, oh, I looked at that video and like, it seems very convincing, but I believe you, Pete, you know, and I salute you, and you're somebody to look up to. You're a role model.
Oh
my God!
Yes.
Oh my God! I got it.
Let me all over my keyboard. Damn you!
Vinny. Yes, it made me sick. It physically ill because I heard those words come out of that man's mouth, and I'm like, wow, you've known him a whole, 30 minutes, and you're saying just how amazing this guy is. Okay, you just stick right there by his side, and here in about 6 months, you're going to be coming on saying how miserable of a human being he is. He'll learn. They always learn.
Yeah, even Bruce Montalvo.
Bruce Montalvo. Right now are not truth seekers, though, I've noticed. They are people that are just more like neocon conservative type people.
Mm.
Basically, his shows involve showing clips from Fox and CNN, for Christ's sake.
Right.
These aren't the same type of truth seekers that we are, and that's who he's preying on right now. In fact, he's recently come out and against Sandy Hook being a hoax and saying the people died there, so that's a complete 360 from what he started to say.
Oh,
in the first
definitely. Wow. Yeah.
That's like the litmus test basically for a truth seeker, is to see how far they've come, as if they've studied that. But I mean, that's how 180 has gone. It used to be 360, actually, forget 180, 720 perhaps. But
right.
We're talking about somebody who was exposing. We're talking about people that somebody was exposing the mind control thing, which is another one that people have a really hard time believing is happening, but there's several patents for it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
He won't talk about that anymore. Those are crazy.
I like to see those rare instances, you know, like Pete Santilli interviewing an expert on psychopathy.
He needs to get Judy Woods back on. And get Judy Woods back on his show. That'd be awesome, because she, like, you know that he screwed over her too. I mean, he goes on there and Judy Woods, that's his go-to girl. But yeah, they had a huge falling out. She learned
they
what kind of a person
did.
He was
I did
as
not
well.
Know
that, Daddy. Yeah, oh, Judy Woods doesn't say anything great about Judy Woods.
Well, what's problematic is Judy Wood has a similar history of getting involved with people and then falling out with them as Pete does.
Yeah,
and actually, for the same reasons. Like me myself, I fell out with Judy Wood because one time I got a date wrong on an interview or something like that, and she kept repeating herself and repeating herself. You said this is the date for the interview. I know that. I can delay my guest or something like that. You said this was the time we were going to be on. I know. That's what I'm trying to... be amenable here. You know, are you feeling tired or something? Because, you know, yesterday was 9/11. She must have been very busy. And she goes, I'm done. And that was the last I've spoken to her. And in fact, I think Pete called me trying to say, get her on my show, you know. And I'm just like, well, if she apologizes for how she treated me over that thing, no problem. Sure, you know, water under the bridge, because I know that psychopaths can't apologize. And so my litmus test is something, if somebody's done something to me, if they apologize, I'll immediately forgive them, because I know that somebody who's a psychopath can't even give it a fake apology. They can say things
like...
No,
they can't.
They can say something like, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Right. Yes, exactly. They have to project it that you are the one that's wrong, you know, and that's their apology. But yeah, you're absolutely right. They can't apologize. They can't show emotion, or they can turn their emotion off in the blink, like go from, you know, 0 to 60. Like they'll be all lovey 1 minute, and then you say something wrong and they just flip it around, and the wrath that comes behind it is just... You know, a normal person can't just turn emotion off like that and switch it like that. And they can, because they have emotional detachment disorder. They can't love other people. They don't have the ability to love others or have compassion or sympathy or be empathetic towards other people. It's all about them. They think that the way that they think is the only way. And if they could get away with killing you, they would. And so what they do is they try to kill you the legal way, which, you know, Pete takes to the airways to do it. So, and for anyone that's listening, and as soon as he does that, you'll see he's going to do that. He can't help himself. No matter how many times you try to, you know, well, we would try to tell him, don't go on air and don't attack this person. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. No, he'll do it. He's going to come out and attack every single one of us. And if you're listening, Pete, I just want to say, fuck you. You're a piece of shit. So that's really all I have to say about it.
Okay, everybody on three, fuck you, Pete. 1, 2, 3. Fuck you, Pete.
Fuck you, Pete.
And lick my balls, too.
See, just the healing has begun. Now,
it has.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen,
I feel better.
It's like group therapy here.
It is. It really, truly is.
Yes, the Santilli Therapy Hour. Welcome. It's like spreading Christmas cheer. Now, somebody in a red and white suit.
Oh my gosh.
Just imagine Santilli is Santilli Claus. he weasels his way down your chimney and steals all your presents at Christmas.
That'd be the Grinch, I think.
He'd be the Grinch. All my smile muscles hurt. That's great.
It is the lighter side of genocide. It's the Finney Eastwood show. I mean, folks, just because we're being exterminated and enslaved by ruthless criminal sociopaths like Pete Santilli doesn't mean we can't have a good laugh about it. Otherwise, what's the point?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Thank you very much.
We all know what's coming. We all know what's coming. It's comical.
Okay, well, let's wrap this up now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Vinnie Eastwood. I've been joined by Dan Ryan, Eric Wilkinson, and Danny Mack. And hopefully you'll share this little puppy around. Oh, wait a second. Is this fun for subscribers only, I think? It's just a little private one. We might do a public one later on. So, subscribers, thank you very much for listening. You donating to me, people, you. I mean, my goodness. Imagine if you were donating that money to Pete Santilli instead, and you didn't get access to this stuff exposing him. Instead, you just got propaganda from him. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? But instead, you're donating to Vinnie Eastwood. Thank you very much, you've made a wise choice. We'll see you again sometime, folks.